Once again, the Glasgow International Comedy Festival is in town, and Jamie McDonald is performing once again. We've managed to catch up with him ahead of his shows for some blatant promotion of it, but to learn a little bit about how he got into comedy in the first place. Thanks for joining us, Jamie.
Yep, absolute shameless promotion coming up, but we'll do a little bit of background first, why not?
Absolutely. I wouldn't say other comedians are available, we'll just stick to yourself. Right?
Yeah, that's awful good of you.
That's awful good of
you. I mean, I won't say other DJs are available either. It's win-win for both of us.
DJ, presenter, darling, presenter.
Oh, sorry, presenter.
Presenter.
A broadcaster.
Broadcaster. Yeah, comedy. It wasn't your original kind of vocation.
No, it wasn't. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I went to university and then I went to university again. And then I still didn't know what I wanted to do. So I ended up having an interview for a corporate bank and I got a job and I was rubbish at it. I didn't really know what I did for a few years. And then the credit crunch hit and they sacked all the rubbish ones. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I was in London and I'd been doing some open mic spots, which is basically if you start in stand-up comedy, that's where you start, where you just are flung on in front of an audience. And I remember just being so nervous. You think with an open mic spot, you just turn up on the night and say, I'd like to try some comedy, please. And you go, there's the microphone, there's the audience, off you go. But no, you book one in and it's about 4 months down the line. And for that 4 months, it's just a slow build of pressure. And then I wrote a script, which if anyone is planning to do it, write a script. For the first time, you go, you just know exactly what you're going to say. And I went up and it went down well. People laughed and I had a good time. And I just thought, this is fantastic.
I like how you didn't know what to do. She went into banking. That's not really a good advert for banking, but you know, it's turned out
so
well in the end.
Teaching, isn't it? Some people have
teaching
a clue what
PE.
To do.
So you turned your attention to comedy. What did you decide you were going to use as your material? Was it about sight loss or was it just general comedy and make people laugh?
Good question, because I did start thinking, I won't even mention the sight. That'll be such a good angle. It's like, why is he not talking about the blindness? Because he's got other things. It's not the main thing of him. And then I thought, well, actually, everyone's saying, like, why aren't you talking about this? Like, that's an interesting thing for you to send up. You know, that's a unique perspective. So I do a lot of stuff on getting around blindness. You know, we all skip queues. We all get to the front of bars. You know, I mean, I fake guide dogs, my little spaniel, a little yellow harness thing. You know, very, very bad thing. Very, very bad practice, but we all do it.
You're talking about your life then. You know, we think back to guys like Billy Connolly when he first came. I think he was probably one of the first ones that perhaps used life experiences. You've got Kevin Bridges that does it now. So many that do it. Was it a kind of, why am I not talking about this in the first place? Because there is some comedy in here. Was there a kind of penny drop moment on stage where you thought, this works?
So you're right. Billy Connolly was what was started off as the alt comedy. And that really was. Before that, you just got guys in kind of glittery blazers and bow ties cracking mother-in-law jokes and kind of punching down. And that is what you'd maybe call hack now, you know, because anyone can go up and do that. If you've got retinitis pigmentosa and you find yourself arguing with a beggar who won't take your money because he thinks you've got a worse deal than him, you know, that's comedy. And that's the life experience that people can relate to that aren't just visually impaired.
I had someone in the street years ago now without my guide dog, and this woman came up to me and she said, oh, son, seeing you out there with a dog. And I thought she was going to say, that's brilliant, you know, you're out and about and, you know, you're independent, it's a cracking wee dog. And she went, I don't feel so bad about myself now.
Like, don't get me started on that.
I didn't know what to say.
I had a taxi driver recently just tell me, like, the darkness must be in your life. It's like, shut up and drive. I remember once my wife wanted us as a pet. We were going to get a dog, which we ultimately did. Not a guide dog, just a pet dog. And but she thought it was fashion at the time that we get one of these cooney pigs. And I always thought, if I'm walking that pig, there's going to be some people that think I'm walking a dog. And I just couldn't handle that kind of like that thought process.
The stage has been a huge success for you, Jamie. You're touring, seems like all the time now, but you've done sort of lots of TV stuff as well. You've got appearances on kind of panel shows and things like that. Has that all been quite recent, or has that been kind of building for a while now?
I first started doing the kind of TV and radio stuff on Radio 4, the Museum of Curiosity. The same producer of that does QI, so that got me onto QI, and then from QI did Have I Got News For You, then I did Celebrity Mastermind, and then up in Scotland, we've done three series of The Scots, the sitcom where I played that mad Ronnie character, which is lovely because the blind character, he's just awful. He's just this mad Rangers psychopath. And it's really nice that they've made a blind character that's not just the kind of like needy kind of version, you know. So and then I've got The Stand in Glasgow, 5 p.m. Sunday the 24th. Tickets still available. No idea why. And that show is going to be my 8th.
You keep coming back. Do you owe the money?
Must do. So, well, I mean, there's no jokes in it this time. It's rubbish, just anger.
A group of us came along to see you a few years ago at the festival. And what I found quite interesting was the whole audience, you know, mixed. There was people with different sight conditions. There was those sighted people as well.
We let some sighted in.
Absolutely. You need someone to help you to find a toilet.
They pay the concession.
You could flip that round, couldn't you?
Imagine that. What a PR disaster that would be. Trying to do a USB. It's like, I charge blind people the full ticket price and then I'm excited. And people not there thinking.
Get you in the paper. But everyone seemed to get the comedy. You know, even people who had no sight conditions, they were howling with laughter. They understood this comedy and it kind of crossed over.
A lot of the comedy comes from my interaction with a sighted person. So in that situation, you know, the sighted person is relating to the, oh, like me, oh no, I've done that. You know, I've got RP, so I've been kind of degenerating for 30 years. And the world has changed over that period. It's gone from being kind of quite mean to quite accessible, and people are now aware of disability, and we've been largely accepted. But I feel that we've been accepted as a unit, and people still see disabilities and not individuality. I find that now my new life struggle is that kind people do the wrong thing for the right reasons, and I've just got to suck it up and say thank you. When I bought a roasting hot cup of tea from a train trolley, and the old lady next to me blew in it for me. I just like, thank you, as I drank round the saliva. And I also feel that in this kind of world of toxic masculinity, as I say, I lost my sight in my mid-teens, and I was shaping up to be very, very toxic. But then I lost my sight, and no longer was I considered toxic. I was considered lovely, and now I'm considered a flippant role model, and only because I'm blind. Nothing to do with me, just my blindness. So, yeah, it's just talking about that. I don't know if that rings with you, Alan. I hope it does, because it's meant to ring with blind people.
It, because people say, oh, you go out and you do whatever sport, or you go to concerts and you've got a job, and it's like sheer shock when they find out you have a mortgage. And it's like that you're a role model for other blind people to go out there in the world and survive. And it's like, well, I'm just doing what everybody else does.
Exactly. I what I talk about is, you know, I'm not toxic. But what if I want to be? One of my ideas is, you know, if people are just going to think I'm always lovely, I should just see how much of a toxic wronging I can get away with being. You know, one of the gags is, you know, just going to a supermarket, blatantly shoplift a coat, you know, try and leave through the plate glass window again and get busted by the security guard. Like, excuse me, sir, is that your coat? Say, yes, do you mind taking the security tag off it? Certainly, sir. Can I just see your receipt? It's just a big blank face, hand him a blank bit of bog roll, you know? It won't have the heart to say anything apart from, oh, that's fine, have a nice day, you know?
So I'm going to make a note of that. That sounds quite good for getting some new clothes.
Some new togs.
I've had, you know, in the shop, and the guide dog, my guide dog one time, going through a shop, lifted this massive teddy bear, which I didn't know about, obviously, and we just walked out. Nobody stopped me, and I thought, I'm going to go to Dixon's or something.
I'm going
to go to the Apple store next and take him in.
I'm training my dog how to drag stereos.
Thankfully, they're a lot smaller now. So you're going to be at the Stand then on the 24th of March for the Comedy Festival here in Glasgow. Do you have like a topic that runs through it, or do you kind of start and just let it run?
It's all to do with acceptance, the various levels of acceptance, and if I want to be a toxic bee, My blindness shouldn't prohibit that.
And that's the name of the show, is it? Toxic.
Toxic
bad
B,
word.
Yeah, but you it's the French for fatherless. It's a work in progress, so it's getting there. But it's doing good. It's doing good things. I've been doing running bits of it in clubs and whatnot, and like imagining the horror show that would be a disabled pride march. That's one of the topics, and what people do to help disabled people now, and just as I say, this kind world of that we all now have to put up with. But is that better than the way it was back in the day when there was no such thing as accessibility? And I talk about traveling through airports. Like, my first experience of traveling through airport with poor sight back in the day was just awful. You used to just get left or ditched somewhere. You'd have to be your holiday in the terminal. And I talk about there being a game on your phone that you can play, where you go around the world virtually hunting static Pokemons. See, 30 years ago, you could have played that live in airports, looking out for abandoned disabled travellers, like blind guys in customs, amputees on runways. And there was once I heard of a person with cerebral palsy in the baggage carousel.
That sounds like a lot of fun, to be honest. But maybe that's just me, I don't know.
It is, yeah. It's a good game.
It's a lot of fun. So the stand is where it is. But if people want to find out more, Jamie, about your appearance, obviously, and or anything else about you, what's the best way to do that?
www.jamiemacdonald.com. That's got all the information and links to my social media.
Good luck with the show, Jamie. And thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much, Alan. Catch you soon.